job. So I have about 20 envelopes here. Now, if we need more, we can get them. But what I have done here is, how many have missed Eric and Nancy Lopez? Yeah. Well, they are in Bethel, and they are doing well. God has done amazing things, providing for them miraculously for their finances. But they are living by faith. Do you guys know what that means? That means that when they went down there, they went down on the word of the Lord, and they're trusting Him for all of their resources. So we are their family. They're at Bethel right now, but we are their family. They'll always be family to me. Wherever they go in the world, Eric and Nancy will be like a son and daughter. Eric Gay calls them their kids, so kids. But I have prepared an envelope here for those of you who would like to help them out. You can give them a one-time gift, and you can just put it in this offering up here, and you can just put your name and the date on it. You can pledge for a monthly support if you guys as a family want to support them as a family and put that on there, and you can just check that. If you don't put it in today, that's okay. We can kind of get an idea what we're going to be supporting them with. If you write the check to the church, we'll write them one check or we'll deposit into their account fully. And then if you just want to donate online, the instructions are here to donate online. So if Glenn would pass those out. So if you would like an envelope, please raise your hand and we'll get you one. Oh, we might run out. Oh, it looks might be close. I have to wait while I run and print some more. No, I'm kidding. Have Gay come up here. And she's got something burning in her heart, I can tell. Is this Tag Team Sunday? Never know, huh? Well, yesterday I was starting to get something in my heart to share, and as you know, I've really felt led by the Lord, where it says that in Psalms, I think it's 85. I'll tell you for sure here. 85:10. You have it memorized too now, huh? 81:10. I always say 85. 81:10, where the Lord says, "I've rescued you from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things." And the Lord shared with me that verse and asked me if I would start to come on Sundays, not prepared with a fixed message, but prepared with Him in my heart. And so yesterday when I was starting to get this word, I'm like, "Lord, this is not, you know, Sunday morning, so is this fair?" And, you know, He's God, of course. So I said, "You know, Lord, if there's something else you want me to share, just put on my heart during service." And the whole service kind of focused on what He was talking to me about. So, thank you, Lord. And God, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you, God, that we don't have to fret or worry or stress, God, in this Christian life. Lord, there's a rest in you. God, there's a peace in you that we can live for you, Lord. And I pray, God, that today as I share, Lord, as your peace rests upon me, Lord, as I speak, God, as your grace and your mercy work through me, Lord, as a vessel, God, that is nothing really here on earth, God, but you have used, Lord, your power and your glory and your spirit inside of me, Lord, to communicate, Lord, truths, God, that are so relevant for this day and so needed for this day. I thank you for that, Lord, and I pray it'd be an inspiration, Lord, for everyone here, God, that you can take an old, broken-down vessel like me, God, and use me, Lord, to allow your people to become who you want them to be. And I thank you, Lord, that your word is truth, your word is life, your word is alive. And Lord, as I share it today, God, you're going to illuminate our hearts. You're going to let the truth make us free, Lord, because we want to be free. Lord, we don't want to live in bondage. We don't want to live in slavery to ourselves or slavery to sin or slavery to old habits. slavery to others. Lord, we want to be free, Lord, so we can be who you want us to be. So thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, you've made an amazing day for us to gather together. Lord, you've given us a freedom, Lord, to gather together in this nation, Lord. Pray, God, as elections come up, Lord, that we would vote, Lord, so that we could remain free. God, so that our freedoms that were so highly priced, prayed for us, Lord, with those who signed the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and gave up everything that they had so that we could be here today. Lord, help us to pay the price as well. We just thank you, God, for just the home that you've given us, a free nation. Don't let us take it for granted, and don't let us live pridefully and just materialistic, God. Help us to see other nations and other people, God, that need help, Lord, that you haven't prospered us just so that we could be full and satisfied, that you've prospered us, Lord, so that we can help others to be full and satisfied as well. We just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I might kind of do a collage today. If we go to, I've never done that before, but yeah, it's kind of what it is. It's going to be just different pictures, painting. But last week I shared on The Eyes Have It, and I was sharing about how we can't let what we see with our natural eyes be what causes us to react and respond and feel. It has to be what the Lord says about us and what the supernatural things of God that we can't see with our natural eyes, but we can see with our faith eyes, with our spiritual eyes. Listen to this. This is kind of like a dovetail on that. This is Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And this is talking about, of course, if we go to verse 1, you hear who's talking about. Out of the stump of David's family, this is verse 1, will grow hang on a second, I'm going to make it New King James, sorry. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's talking about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. Now get this. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So listen to this. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes. Jesus is our example. He doesn't even judge by what he sees. So you keep in mind, when you see things, see someone's outer appearance, see the way maybe someone's behaving, maybe it's the way you're behaving. Don't judge like that. Judge by what the Word says. Judge by what God may be doing on the inside of them. Judge with righteousness. Realize that you were once maybe in a state that if someone saw you, they could probably make judgments against you. And let's look at people through God's eyes. See, God sees everybody redeemable. God sees everybody whole. Now, does every person make it? That's between them and God. That's between them and receiving Christ. But somehow God sees every person whole. Somehow he can see that future and that hope that they can have in God. Let's see through God's eyes. Let's quit looking through our own. Okay. With that said, turn with me again to Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Yeah, I preached this about 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. So I'm starting to repeat myself. But I'm preaching on another area of this today. And it's on fear. Because it's really been going through my heart about fear and about how we as God's people sometimes live in fear. Fear of rejection, fear of what, you know, people will think, fear of the unknown, fear of, you know, what, you know, tomorrow's going to bring, or fear what today's bringing. You know, a lot of times some of the things that we fear about never even come to pass. You know, we get anxious over them, we get it, you know, oh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. But I don't want to talk about just that kind of fear. I want to talk about the kind of fear that brings torment. The kind of fear that when we think about it, causes us to not approach God, but walk away from God, hang our head low, not feel like we are sons, not feel like we are all our daughters. This kind of fear is not from God. This kind of fear is from the enemy of our soul. This kind of fear is from our old man, our old nature, because our old nature is still attached to this world. How many know that? How many know that your old nature likes the world? The old man likes the world. The old man likes to dabble and keep his hands busy in the things of the world. But our new man, the new creation that we are, wants nothing to do with that. Do you realize that? That there's a part in you that wants nothing to do with that old life. But, as I said last week, we use this old life, and when the old man gets involved in this life, it taints and it makes this new man feel that he's not new. And through that, we let the old life just continue to live. Do you see what I'm saying? This spirit of bondage again to fear, when we fear that God's judgment is coming against us because of what this old nature does, we distort and skew the view of how God views the new man. So then what we do is we let this man stand here helpless while this man continues to do what he wants. Bondage again to fear means that you are a slave to your old man because you're afraid that God's judgment is upon you. So if we look at God as judging us, then we will let the old man live. If we look at God as approving us and loving us, that we are whole, that we are new, the old man has a hard time because he's dead. See, so as we're alive to Christ, alive to God, the old man is dead in his ways. It's not that we manipulate the old man by our spirit over here like some kind of puppet. Okay, you don't do that, you don't do that. Okay, get enough word here. And we manipulate him so that he's, you know, only to do so much. No, he's dead. And as we realize that we're born again, see, he's the father of spirits. Do you realize that? He's not the father of flesh and blood. Turn with me in your Bible. I told you it would be a collage. Turn with your Bible to John chapter 1, verse 12. So it says here in verse 12 of John, not 1 John, the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, that's Jesus, as many as received him, to them he gave the right. That means he gave them the ability, he gave them the ability to receive. It doesn't mean that
It's automatically there. He gave you the ability. He gave you the ability to choose this. He gave you the ability, the authority to say, this is mine. But you have to receive it. Gave you the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Now listen to this. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God is spirit. So this part of me that is whole is born of God. Now, if something is born of God, does it have sin? If something is born of God, do you think it has any imperfections? Any fallacies? Okay, so there is a part of us that is so new and so alive to God, if we allow it to be, our spirit. He is the Father of spirits. Let's allow him to be our Father and let's live. Okay, go back to Romans 8:14. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, the spirit of slavery, the spirit of having to yield to something unwillingly. We have not received that spirit. So then, why do we appear to be doing that? It's because of fear. We're in bondage because of fear. Now, this is hard to understand because I've been grappling with this. Lord, I don't quite get all this. Why am I in fear when I love you and I know you? It's because we have made it so that we placed restrictions and things that we have to do to qualify for God. Even just to be, you know, just this is just shooting from the hip, honest. We've made it in churches that you have to qualify to be used by God. You have to go through the right classes. You have to be molded in a certain way. You have to be indoctrinated. Instead of saying, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you, young child of God, brand spanking new. Now someone will say, well, what you're going to do is you're going to turn them loose and they're going to... Okay, let's stop making it so that we're going to think about everything. Again, fear. This is all going to happen if you do this. And let's just believe the Bible. Because, you know, when they were brand new, spanking, born again, in the days of Acts, they were running around still preaching, you know, John's baptism. And they were corrected. But they were zealous. They were on fire. Do you hear me? We got to quit putting all these restraints on ourselves and on each other and realize that the Spirit of God lives in us. That we are born of God. And if we're born of God, then we can hear his voice. We can be led by the Spirit. We can be used by God. We've been not given the spirit of bondage again to fear, folks. We have received the spirit of adoption. That's the spirit of sonship. That means that we have been made sons and daughters. We have been made children of God. That's the spirit that we're supposed to have received. But because of fear of what this old man has done, and because this old man did it, this one is, do you see, being guilty? And we now look at judgment coming to a pure and righteous holy vessel because of what he did. Okay, let's turn here because I need to give you a little bit more. 1 John. This is 1 John now. Chapter 4. We'll start at verse 16. Holy Spirit, let this come across. Let it fill our hearts. Let us receive, God, who you say we are. So we know how much God loves us. And we have put our trust in this, New Living Translation. My Bible keeps doing that. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides or lives in love abides and lives in God. And God in him. Now listen to this. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Oh, get this. If we abide in God, he abides in us, his love abides in us. And his love has been perfected among us or in us. How? In this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Or why? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now we could say, well, judgment hasn't come yet. Judgment is going to be at the end of our life when we stand in the great throne. I'm here to tell you that we can be in judgment every single day because we're not letting God's love be complete in us. In other words, we let what we've done, we've let what we've experienced say who we are, and we stand in judgment instead of God's perfected love that's in us. See, because as he is, so are we in this world. As who is? As Jesus is. Remember last week I said this? Get this in your heart. As God sees Jesus, he sees us. If we could get that he doesn't see this guy over here when he looks at us. If he sees Jesus, if we're in Christ. Now, if you're not in Christ, you haven't received God's grace, you haven't received the work of the cross, you haven't received that he is the Messiah, that he's the one who took your sins on the cross, had them nailed to the cross so that you had no judgment against you, then you do have judgment. But if you receive Christ, if you received his love, if you've received the work of the cross, if you received him and said, Lord, you're my God, and you have saved me, then you're not in judgment. You're not judged, or you're not condemned. We think we're condemned. And I know a lot of people would say in their mind, oh, I'm not condemned. I know the word. Folks, we have to quit doing this. We cannot keep reciting things that we know, but we don't live in our hearts. Now listen to this. It says, the truth will make you free. Now, if you can truly say that you live in freedom from judgment, guilt, and condemnation, then please come up and talk to me after church because I want to know the secret. The secret is believing God. That we're not judged. We are loved. See, it's amazing how, and I remember this, when I first came to Christ, I thought, what? That's it? I mean, I thought I saw people go to church, it must take going to church to get right with God, and I got to get all this stuff out of my life. And I had all these things that, you know, I thought in my natural mind, but then someone just said, well, Jesus paid the price. I said, well, that's it? He paid the price? Makes no sense. But you know what I did? I received it. And that day I walked in a new life. And Holy Spirit started cleaning things off of me and no man was teaching me. Holy Spirit told me to get out of a bad movie. Said, why don't you get up and go? This isn't for you. And so I left my friends and just walked out of the movie. And it's like I didn't have anybody there sitting there, checklist number one, don't go to that movie. No one told me that. Holy Spirit started working me because I was a born again, non-judged child of God. And I was walking in that freedom. Now get this. I started going to church. Hey, I'm sorry. Started going to organized faith. And all of a sudden, these things started being put on me that I had to do to measure up to God's worth. And because of that, this old man gained power. He gained power. He said, oh, you think it's about what you do, huh? Well, what about this? What are you going to do about this over here? Oh, let's see. There's got to be a Bible verse for that, you know? And so I started thinking that I could find something in the Word or go to somebody and they would pray enough for me or I'd confess it enough or I'd close my eyes and, you know, that I could do something enough to stop him. How could I ever think that after I was saved, I never stopped him before. It was the grace of God that stopped the old man before. Why did I think that afterwards somehow I was now going to be in charge? Because religion said I had to. Religion said, the cross is good, but we really need to help God in this area. Because man's wicked. Well, man is wicked. But I'm not man anymore. I'm a new, born again, by the Spirit of God, creation, child of God. That old man doesn't exist. No more bondage again to fear. I'm done. 30 years of it, I'm done. And if you say, Pastor Mike, you're sounding whack, praise God, because the gospel is foolishness to the carnal mind. I'm thinking I'm whacked right now as I'm preaching. This goes against all 30 years of stuff that I've been told. Guess what? Living for God can be easy. Living righteous can be easy. It's not about a bunch of do's and don'ts. Let the Spirit of God transform you from the inside out. Because He will. He's more than willing. He wants to confirm the fact that we're children of God. And He'll prove it by transforming us. It's not that He doesn't want us to be like Jesus. It's not that He doesn't want us to read His Word. He doesn't want us to read His Word, though, so that we can be good. Did you hear me? God does not want you to read your Word so you can be good enough. He wants you to read your Word so you can know Him. So you can see Him in His Word and you become Him. That's a reason to read your Word, not so I can be good enough to make God's approval. No. So that I can be transformed into who God is. The work of grace makes no sense to the carnal mind. The act of grace makes no sense. That God's happy over us. That somehow when I was still a sinner doing all these horrible things, and I won't even mention them, that somehow God was still happy over me. That He still somehow rejoiced over me. That I even brought Him pleasure when I was still a sinner. Do you guys realize that? That He saw something in me that brought Him pleasure, that said, I'm going to redeem this one and make him beautiful. I've heard someone say, we've made it all about sin. Why don't we make it all about our worth? Because it was just about sin that Jesus went to the cross. Then we're really distorting it. It was about love. Is about love for someone who was unlovable. So I must have had value. And I'm starting to tell myself that. Starting to look in the mirror saying, I don't know why, but God thinks you're valuable. And you know what? I'm starting to feel that worth, and so all of a sudden I'm treating others with greater value. What's it say? Love others as you love yourself. Love others as you view yourself. View others as you view yourself. Listen, as long as we keep looking at ourselves as dejected, rejected, uglies, you know, the just pitiful people, we're going to live and treat others like that. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. As He is right now, folks, we are in this world. That means as He is seated at the right hand of God, somehow we're seated at the right hand of God. As He's constantly making intercession for us, we're right there with Him constantly making intercession. Do you see this? That just as Jesus is, so are we. If we could see this, we would never be the same. People would wonder what happened to us. You know what? They would start to see Jesus live here on earth. Because as we see ourselves, as we are in the Spirit, not with our natural eye. Because I guarantee this week, the enemy's going to say, well, look at you. Look what you're... Just tell him he's a liar. Amen. Tell him he's a liar. He's a father of lies. And you're going to believe the truth that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That I have been predestined, as it says in Ephesians, to be a son of God, a child of God, a daughter of God. God somehow, even before the foundations of the world, when He was thinking about Jesus, He was thinking about me. Me. Not just mankind. No, Mike Lindell, come on, turn with me here. You guys are not believing me. I can tell. I feel it. It's like, what's he talking about? Okay, Ephesians. What? Good, Jesse. That makes several, I'm sure. I just wanted to give you guys the reference, so you're just going, this guy is not. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us. That didn't mean just the ones he was writing to. That didn't mean just, you know, the Ephesian church. He means the body of Christ chose us as individuals in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Without blame. Right there it says it. We should be holy and without blame. You are a holy people. I'm a holy person. Now, this old guy over here, not so much. But in Christ, we're holy. And who are we in? Is that us? That is not us, folks. Not anymore. Why continue to put Jesus to an open shame? Why continue to say, I need him to be crucified again for me? No, one time's enough. Let's just receive the work, the finished work of Calvary. Can we do that? And can we walk in that truth? We, having been predestined, in him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, sons and daughters, according to the good pleasure of his will. See, it's a good pleasure that he has over us. It makes no sense. I guarantee this, what I'm preaching makes no sense to the carnal mind. But I guarantee in your spirit, oh, it's ringing so true today. You guys are going, yes, it's so simple, Pastor Mike. We've made it so hard. Yes, we have. Man has made it so hard to be loved by God. God made it so easy. One time, sacrifice. I love mankind. I love you. Enemy, I could say you by name. He's saying, I love you, when he stretched out his hands. Not just again, don't do this, for God so loved them. You can quote it. No, in your heart, receive it today. You are loved. I know this is a fight. Like I said, I want your love. I want to receive your love. But everything in here is saying, I don't deserve it, guys. I'm being honest. I'm a pastor. Been a pastor for years. I've walked with the Lord for years. Everything in here still says, I truly don't deserve his love. And he's dealing with me on that. And so guess what that means? Not Pastor Mike, you know, the guy who comes up, shake your hand. But there's still a part of me that wonders, in my natural mind, do you deserve his love? And I will treat you such. I'm being honest here. I have got to realize fully that I'm fully loved. And I'm doing it so I can love you. Because I truly want to love you to the place where you are who God's called you to be. We've been preaching about for 2 years to become what I believe God wants us to be. And it was so simple. It was right in front of my face the whole time. But I didn't believe it. How could it be that I'm a child? How could it be that I'm loved without having to fix this guy first? This guy is dead. He's dead. Any activity that he does is because I don't receive his love. Your old man has power because you're not receiving the love of God. Realize that. And so what does that mean? That means we get alone with God. Lord, help me receive your love. Help me believe your love. Help me walk in your love. I reject the lies. I reject the schemes of the enemy. Folks, there's a conspiracy against us to not receive the love of God. Because if his people received his love, we would be loved. Listen to this. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Come on now, read that with me. There is no fear in love. Now, yes, I know we read in Isaiah that Jesus had the fear of the Lord. That's different. And he lived in the fear of the Lord. But it's not a fear of judgment. It's a fear of who he is. Not against me, but to honor him in that way that I live as his child. There is no fear in love, but perfect love or complete love casts out all fear. Because fear involves torment. See what I'm saying? When you're tormented, when you're sitting here questioning, am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I in God? Am I out of God? Does God love me? Does God not love me? Do they love me? You're in torment. You're in fear. But perfect love, complete love, it'll move every fear. Guess what? When we walk in love, that perfect love, we have that perfect love, we love. It will be natural. You won't have to think, oh, I got to treat this guy like Jesus would treat him. You don't think that way. You think, wow, God loves me. This person needs the love of God. It's not that we do it because we know it's the right Christian thing to do to witness somebody. No, we say, man, I'm loved. Do you know how much God loves you? Because he loves me. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not about trying to get somebody just converted so you can chalk up another spiritual trophy to be approved by God. Or come to church on Sunday morning so you can be approved by God. Or come to a prayer meeting so you can be approved by God. We've got them. We've got them that we can chalk up, that we can say, wow, I've got a good list going there this week. God must really love me. I know that sounds ridiculous, but folks, that's the way we live. It may sound ridiculous, but that's the way we live. Or have I just been like schizophrenic and I'm just like, I mean, am I the only one here? Or come on. Do you guys realize that we chase those tails all the time? Trying to amount to something that we already are? Trying to do enough to become what we already are. Listen, Eve was the child of God. She was as much as God as God designed her to be. Do you realize that? But Satan said, did God really say that you're supposed to not eat of this tree? Well, he said that we could eat of all the trees, you know. He starts to like pull her off target, focusing on the tree. Yep. Focusing on the tree. Not her identity. Focusing on the tree. Not your identity. Because she got focused on the tree. Oh, this looks good. This looks nice. This looks great. You said, what? I'll be like God? She was like God. She walked with God. She talked with him. She was eternal like him. Yet, this will make me like God? This, fixing this, will make me like God? Do you guys see the parallel? We're just going back to the garden again. When Jesus ended the curse of the garden. It's about your identity. If we could get it that it's about our identity. Who we are. Not who we're not. Who we are. See, she was already all she needed to be. Do you realize that? She didn't become any more like God. She became less. When she bit that and she gave it to her husband, they quit being sons and daughters. They became man. They were man in his image, sons and daughters. And you and I had relationship broken. Not just sin blocking our way back to God. Sin keeping us from being children of God. See, no one told me that when they built that bridge. They said, that's how you get back to God. But they failed to say, and you were a child of God, and you are now going to be a child of God. Let that sink in. If we could just realize that we are children of God, that we are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. See, here, but if it was here, man, you'd all be up cheering. I guarantee it. When this truly sinks in, people who visit, when we talk about being joint heirs with Christ, they're literally go, what are they doing? Because we'll know what it means. Because we've been walking it and truly living it. We are in a new day. Holy Spirit is removing the lies, the deceptions, the clouds. And guess what? We're starting to be able to visualize Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we're being transformed. And it's starting with we're realizing that we have an identity. And that's it, that we're children of God. We're loved. You are loved. I am loved. See, we love him because he first loved us. See, we come to church on Sundays and we go through a motion of loving him, but if we don't receive his love, if we don't receive that he first loved us, I mean receive it here, then it's motions. It can be lip service. And it's not meant to be like that. Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, what you're doing in this day in my life, in the life of others. God, I thank you, Lord, that, God, that we as your people are realizing we're not just citizens in a kingdom, but Lord, we're your children. We are your children. We are sons and daughters. Lord, that you have family back and you're excited over us. God, that you take pleasure, Lord, in us. Lord, and that this old man, this old stuff, it is not who we are. It's dead. And I thank you, Lord, that it's not going to have any power over our lives anymore. That the new creation, the born of the Spirit, child of God, is who we are. And Lord, we will live in that. We will walk in that. We will breathe in that. We will breathe the air of heaven, God, because we're heaven bound, Lord, and we have you as our Father, as our Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy, for becoming my Daddy. Thank you, Daddy, for sending your son. Thank you, Daddy, for loving me. I need your love. I want to receive your love. Not in my head, but God, deep inside of me. Don't let us be close to the kingdom. Let us be wholly in, Lord. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters of faith. God, I pray that they would, Lord, this week live in a new awareness that they are your children. Live in a new awareness, God, that they have received not a spirit of bondage again to fear, Lord, but they've received the spirit of adoption, whereby they can cry out to you all day long, Daddy, Daddy. Anything comes up, they don't understand, they can say, Daddy, help me. Anything seems to overwhelm them, they can say, Daddy, bring your peace. Lord, I pray that we would just be like little children. Because that's what you said, such is the kingdom of God. Who would have thought that it meant we just needed to be the children of God? We rely on you. We wholly trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for this day of reminding us that we are loved. So loved, Lord, that you gave. You laid down your life so that we could be sons and daughters of the King. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.
You know, the Holy Spirit's been just jerking at my heart to say this, so I'm just going to say it's for somebody in here, and I don't even know who. But God says he does not see your sin. He says he went to, and he nailed that on the cross. He does not see your sin. He sees you. He sees your love and your heart. The devil wants you to see that your own sin. He wants you to dwell in it and make you think you're not good enough. God doesn't see it. He says, when you ask for forgiveness, it's gone. I never seen it anyway. I already put it on the cross. And I don't know who that's for, but that's what I feel.
Thank you, brother.
That's right. Amen. Praise God. Well, am I looking at a bunch of sons and daughters? That's right. I am. And go remind others that they're sons and daughters too. Maybe on the outside they don't look like it yet, but they are. And if the love of God was shared with them in a pure, true way, guess what? God's goodness will rise up. It did in me. It did in you. Can in someone else. God bless you. You have a great day. Remember, we're downstairs having a feast.